The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast. It's the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Peter and Steve.
Hello. Hello.
I say it like that because when I started, yeah. I had no plan to say it like that because, but as I was doing that then, I realised what came to mind was that guy, the town crier, outside the Royal 7,500 a night hospital wing that that bird and that man, what are they called? Prince.
Prince and the Princess. Patty.
Yeah, they had, what's the name going to be? Who cares? I hate that. Everywhere I'm looking, every BBC local show, anything. Oh, Texas, what the name's going to be? Oh, do you know what I'd like the name to be, really?
Prince Steve.
I would love Prince Steve. Oh, what's the name going to be? Oh, Texas.
You know what? I actually, I was with my parents, and I obviously saw something. It was obviously a fake story. I saw someone was going to call it.
That's a good.
Oh. Oh, I've forgotten the name now. Sorry.
I tell you what, Steve. You know how to tell them.
But a little bit more work, Steve. That could be an anecdote.
You could work that out.
Oh, that's right. No. Yeah, no,
after dinner speech, that one.
I saw they were going to call it Leroy. So I told my parents this. And they were like,
Prince Leroy. Hey, old Glenroy.
Both my parents were like, no. And I was like, honestly, I've read it. I thought I saw it on a pop-up on Sky News. But it was obviously Facebook.
They knew Steve was lying. So, Steve, you didn't read it. You can't read. His parents said to him. But well, no, I just think there's nothing that embodies more in this country than a British man than Steve. Do you think?
Yes.
I agree.
We've named him Prince Steve. I mean, brilliant, Steve. Or Dave, you know, but Steve, there's just off centre. There's a little bit, you know. David is quite nice. It's a biblical name, but there's not many Steves in the Bible, is there? when did Steve come?
Justin.
I love Prince Steve, though. But everyone's obsessed with it's going to be a boy's name. It's going to be something that's happened before. Arthur, or it can't be Harry or Henry. What do you reckon? They've got us guessing now. That's what I hate. They got us guessing the name, and I hate people. Yeah. Oh, what's the name? Oh, what's the name going to be? Oh, there's the woman standing outside there, and she said, I've been here for 15 days. 15 days? How is she? First of all, she must absolutely stink to high heaven. Really stink, right? And also, no one knew they were going into labour 15 days ago. So does she mean she's just homeless and she just happened to be homeless outside the hospital or what? I don't understand that.
Maybe she lives there, yeah.
This is what I think. There's a couple of people there like that. There's a guy dressed in a Union Jack suit and apparently Megan said he lives by her mother's. It's not Megan's father. He's always there for royal occasions. So did you see this? There's Kate Burley from Sky. They're obsessed with it. And they did say at one point, why not, look at our live stream feed of the outside the hospital? I thought, what? Just look at a live stream of people walking past a building? Do you know what? And I replied to Sky, I said, do you know what? I've just painted the front door. I'm just going to watch the paint dry, and then I'll catch up with that, okay? Because who wants to do that? Who wants to watch a goddamn building? That's it. But these people have been there, and this one guy was there dressed in a little cape and something, and he had like a little doll, and this is a grown man, a little doll with a little fake gold crown on it, and he's cradling the doll. And I thought, these people here, now they're in one place, it's an excellent place where you just exterminate them. Stop, because people say, they're not harming anyone. They are, though, because these people can vote, and they can give birth. So let's stop them doing that, because...
Can I make an observation? What you could do is turn the television off.
Oh, yeah, I could do that, yeah.
There you go.
Good idea, yeah.
I haven't seen any of that.
What's the name, though? What's the name going to be? Hey, what's the name? Ooh, what's the name?
Actually,
out of all the people, Pete, can you imagine Justin being the one person who would get rid of his television at some point of his life?
Yeah, I probably would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Potentially.
At the moment,
it's a long way off. He used to watch it a lot and get annoyed by it.
I got to say, at the moment, there's nothing on TV. Are you watching? Billions has gone downhill, hasn't it? Have you been watching Billions?
Watching it. I'm saving it.
It's just not as good. It's just not as good. I'm looking for other things. In fact, there's a couple of things that people have raved about that stuck out in my head, and that's Breaking Bad. People are still raving about that, so I'm going to get that. But apparently you can get it free on Netflix, can you, Steve? If you have a 30-day trial.
I think they're still doing that. I think they're still doing that, aren't they?
Yeah, and you can get them on DVD.
But you have to watch all in 30 days.
Yeah. Or you can get
I did it in about 2 weeks, all season, so.
Did you?
And wow, okay.
You can get DVDs, all of them, for £22 on from Music Magpie.
Watch, that's clutter, though, then. You've got to keep them, haven't you?
Yeah, but you can resell them then, can't you? Get your money back. I don't want to download. I don't want, you know, Breaking Bad on my TV for, like, the rest of my time, essentially. But there's nothing on TV. I don't really watch a lot of TV. Anyway, let's talk about the stock market, guys, shall we?
Yes.
It's been a bit livelier, isn't it?
It has.
You know, April is supposed to be a good month, but we've not started off well. It's been really, it has been like trudging through, you know, sort of Gloy in concrete boots. Do you remember Gloy from school?
No, I didn't. Went to a different school, I think.
Yeah, I think most, it wasn't just one school that had it, Pete. Several schools.
Oh, okay.
Gloy, it was like.
Was he in your class, was he?
It was like kids' glue. You couldn't sniff it.
Okay.
Do you remember that, Steve? Gloy?
Nope.
It came in a little white container with a red rubber top, and you just squashed it on if it's for sticking paper to paper.
You maybe it was just glue they gave you?
Yeah. I think it was a mixture between glue and joy. So they call it Gloy. And anyway, it's been like trudging through Gloy in concrete Wellington boots, hasn't it, for the first half of the month? In fact, the first three quarters of the month. But now it's started to pick up. Steve, have you seen any liveliness in your shares?
Ironically, I did see the excitement of Upland Resources, but I looked at my portfolio and most of it's in reds. It's just a few good stocks, like propping them all up at the moment.
Yeah, but they're baggers, aren't they?
They're good. No, it's good. So
Upland, like I say, I did bag on. I sold half, all right? And that was on Thursday. In fact, we're recording this Thursday night. Feedback on Wednesday, I did bag on, I sold half. There's another two baggers I've done. That brings my total of baggers. In the last 3 years, I've been doing micro-wraps up to about 56 baggers. That is not too bad, is it? That's not to be sniffed at. And do you know what?
About 56.
Obviously, what happens is I sell half and then it bags again. I may sell another half. It depends how I feel about it. But yeah, so, yes, pretty much. I mean, it's pretty much around that, yes. So.
No, very
let's
good.
Be honest, we've had sort of Asian Met, a 10 bagger. I've had, EVRH, the 12 bagger. I've had, Angus Energy, a 5 bagger. I had, Vasarian, that's about a 9 bagger. And we've had Valorix, we've had Tertiary Minerals. What else? I've had Bag Talao. So, but do you know what? I've seen a lot of people giving up, actually. One guy, Terry, gave up Wednesday, and I said, you came back on Twitter, and he said, that's it, enough, you know. In fact, it was quite funny, Pete, you picked up on this, didn't you? And
yes.
I think Terry said something like, guys, it's been fun, I've been on AIM for a year, I'm pretty much broke even, I'm checking out, thanks very much. And
I haven't got a clue what I'm really doing.
Yeah, I haven't got a clue what I'm really doing, yeah. And then Groucho, who's a regular sort of listener and a follower, we follow each other on Twitter, just replied with, Steve? and Terry come back with what? But the thing is, but do you know what? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, I've seen a few people over the last weeks and months sort of give up. Some of them come back and give up trading or investing on AIM, and you know, I think people come with a false perception to start off with, because to achieve consistent profits, you know, via the stock market is not easy, right? And especially the risk of small cap end. In fact, you know, only if you look at it, I think only a minority of people do it. And these are the people who've taken plenty of losses and been in the game for a long time, you know? And it does take time. For some reason, people just come in, they think, start trading profitably or investing profitably within the first month, year, whatever. And that wouldn't happen in any other profession or trade. You know, if I said to you, right, I want to be a professional tennis player, I wouldn't expect to be, you know, in Wimbledon final that year when I decided, you know? Or if someone said to me, oh, can you rewire or fit a boiler to a house? You know, I wouldn't have a clue. But for some reason, people think they can just come on to investing, almost crack it within a year. I mean, you know, it's probably not as hard as learning it to put a ball into a house or rewire a house. Probably doesn't take as long or become a professional tennis, but it does take a long time. And the more you do it, the more you learn. And like I said, if you can learn and not get wiped out, so that's why risk is the most important thing. If you can learn, then you will start to earn money. And that's why everyone can't do it. You know, it's something that when you, I mean, talk to another guy, or MB on.
I think you mean not everyone can do it.
Everyone can. What I'm saying is, like anything, I mean, you've got to have a bit of a passion for it and you've got to like it, you know? And the more you like it, the more you have a passion for it, the better you'll get because you enjoy doing it. And like any job, if you enjoy doing it, you're probably better than the guy next to you who doesn't enjoy doing it because he doesn't want to do it, you know? So it's like that. It is tricky, isn't it? It is hard. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot of moving parts.
I also think it depends on what they're doing. If they're looking to come into it like full time as a bit of a trader or whatever, I would think that is really hard. And I think I've said before, if I was doing it, I'd be tinkering all the time and I'd just be, you know, I'd be terrible, I think, and it would all go down the tubes. Whereas because I'm busy with other stuff, this is just a side thing that like being involved in. And I think that works to my favour because I'm not tinkering, buying, selling, we should have done better, that, you know. And I'm not in that. Whereas I think I would probably get really fed up with it all if I was really involved day to day. Well, I know you are a bit, but I wouldn't do as well, I think. Whereas having it like I do, it's a side thing, it's an interesting, and yeah, totally agree, it takes ages. The other thing as well is you've got to accept, you know, some things don't go your way, and so you've got to be quite philosophical, there we are, about it in sometimes when things aren't, in some of those stocks, you know, for no apparent reason, don't perform like you were hoping they did. But I don't know. Yeah, it's sad to see people go because I'm really enjoying it. I really like being involved in and having some stocks and seeing what happens to them.
Yep,
good and bad.
But the thing is, it's like I chatted to Justin. Have you ever heard of Justin Urquhart Stewart? Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah. He was quite famous back in the 80s and 90s, wasn't he? He used to be on BBC Breakfast and stuff.
He was the go-to guy. I mean, you may have seen him, Steve, right? Whenever they have a go-to guy to chat to normally, the BBC Financial Day of Breakfast, it's normally this guy in red bow tie and red braces, you know? That's Justin Urquhart Stewart. And he's a multimillionaire now. He's an investment manager. I was chatting to him. And we said it's quite annoying that they don't teach personal finance in schools. Because, like I said, you will learn Pythagoras' theorem, or you'll learn long division or long multiplication, which you'll never use in your life, you know? Or you'll learn about pi, and you'll never need to know that. But you will need to know about mortgages, you will need to know about pensions, and you will need to know about investments, pretty much. So it's annoying. And the problem is, like, I got to say, Terry, who I've tried to help out, who sort of give up, I said, listen, Terry, I'll try to help you out any way I can. I'm not going to tell you, you know, what to buy. I mean, if you ask me why I'm buying, I'll show you. I write blogs on what I buy. And I said to him, it's not only what you buy, it's how you buy it, you know? And I sent him my blog about the two most important R's of investing, that's research and risk. And when you buy a stock, don't go all in, scale in, you know? Allocate a maximum amount. And I always keep repeating this because new people listen to the podcast all the time. For example, this is what I do. I'll say, look, if I got a stock I like, I'll allocate 10% of my entire portfolio's worth to that. Then I'll split that in three, and I'll buy the first chunk where I believe a decent level. That means avoiding a spike in the charts. Look at the chart, make sure it's a decent level, make sure it hasn't risen quickly. And then if it drops 10% and the story hasn't changed, then I believe that's, you know, a cheaper stock then. So I'll buy some more. But I only ever buy pretty much 10% of that. And so if it all goes wrong, the maximum I've lost is 10%. And essentially, you've got 10 goes at it to get it right. And if you're in a small cap arena, you know, you can do quite well. But, Steve, what are you clicking?
Nothing.
You are, aren't you? You're clicking something.
You are.
We can both hear you, Steve.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was it?
I was actually updating. It was stocks and shares related. I was just updating my financial spreadsheet.
Hang on.
Hello? What?
You, Steve? What? Steve? Prince Steve has got a financial spreadsheet?
Yeah. It's called Stocks and Shares, Profits and Loss.
Hang on, is this something you download from Harry and Larry?
No, I created this myself.
I was going to say, Harry and Larry wouldn't provide that. We're not providing that. How's that going to make us money? That's not going to make us money, is it? People downloading stuff from us, downloading our paper.
Steve, we'll see how much money.
I did have a little help from Harry and Larry, actually.
What did he say? Right. All right, Steve, well, Harry here. Do you want to speak to Larry? No, because I'm on my break. I'll get Larry for you. I'll get Larry. He knows more about this than me.
Actually, this is kind of a nice little bit of advice, actually, someone starting out investing quite soon. Because I started back in 2015, and what I didn't do is keep track of how much money I was putting in and what, because obviously when you're taking profit out, you don't know how much money you've made.
Yeah.
So I contacted Harry and Larry to basically give me each year where my stock value was, so I can work out exactly how much money I put in, what my stock value was, and how much profit I've made from year to year.
Oh,
very good tip.
That's worth doing, because I've taken out some money. Yes. I know I'm sort of making a property profit, but I need to keep a record of it. I do so every quarter, try to update my spreadsheet. But this year I've had to pay for a rewiring of the house, a boiler gone wrong, so it's really taken a big chunk. Good job. Do you know what? Back to that sort of what you're saying about tinkering, and that is right. I mean, I remember when what's it called? The Mad Stork, who went full time. He's called on Twitter. It's not his real name, of course.
That would be a good name for the new baby.
We've decided to name him the Mad Stork. I know it's a bit, unusual, but I think
Mad Stork.
Once you get used to it, when Charles suggested it to us, we thought it was a bit odd, but we've got used to it now. So he said that the biggest thing, the biggest trap I'll fall into is tinkering too much, trying to trade too much, essentially. Because when you trade, it's costing you every time. And those costs are eating into your profits, And the more you do it, honestly, so it's like, and proper investors like, Warren Buffett, look at that and think, well, and when you look at fund managers, that they cost you as well. So you've got to look at that. But I mean, you should never tinker. And you should, in fact, a good thing is, like I said, the strategy is when you double, I normally sell half. That's my normal strategy. And then I'm less worried then about that stock, that money that's still in that stock, because I've taken my initial stake out. And, people say, well, it's still your money. I know it's true, but those stocks, first and foremost, when I look for a stock, I do genuinely look for a 10-bagger. I look at a company that has the potential to be 10 times the value of what it has, because the asset is worth that. And so when it bags once, I expect it to go further. I don't expect that to be, the be-all and end-all. So I'll take that out, and I want it to go further. So I never buy for the short term. I buy for stocks that are mid to long term that I think, in 2-3 years will be a lot more valuable than they are now. But once I get that initial, stake out, I'm less worried then about volatility. Yeah. And when if you're looking at the stock all the time, you've got all your money in it, and it's a bit volatile and drops. I know people, newbies. I did this when I was a newbie. I'd sell on a drop, thinking, oh, I'll just get out, because I'm scared to lose my money.
So the two this week that have really done well, and I'll continue to do well, Upland and Feedback for me. And
Valrix.
Valrix has done well.
Valrix is good, Valrix is good, and I completely de-risked when that went up at the end of last year, so I'm okay with that. Feedback and Upland, I just feel, I know what you're saying, but it's such an upward trajectory. It might pull, they are pulling back a bit, or Feedback are pulling back, but that, I don't know. I'm not so bothered. I think there's a much more mid to long term story there. Like Feedback's market cap is still tiny, isn't it? And
it's under 10.
A non exclusive agreement is signed this with GE Healthcare. I mean, that's mental in its own right. And then that's non exclusive. So there'll be other deals out there, won't there? So
yeah, but this is my thoughts on it, right? And I'm going to round down the figures here. So let's say you've got a portfolio of 10 grand, yeah? You've invested your full amount, 10% into Feedback. So it's doubled. You sell that grand. That is feed money for another stock then. So yeah. I'm into looking for, because I look at, I've always got investment ideas. I've always got companies I'm looking at all the time that I may want to invest into. And literally, start of this week, I had a couple of limit orders in, but apart from that, I had no spare funds. So I always want to have some spare funds. I always want to have that, because listen, we're at the start of now a bullish month. And don't just sit back and think, oh, this is going to go on forever, because it never does, How many years now? 9 years or 10 years into a bull market? That is unknown. Yeah. Normally, bull markets run for 5. This is almost double the length of a bull market. So when we have a pullback, it'll be quite an aggressive one, I think. And I don't know where it's going to come from, but interest rates are going up. That is not good for the stock market, because obviously money is more expensive. Companies tend to borrow less because the money they have borrowed has cost them a lot, and so they don't expand as much. And everything costs, it costs everyone more, mortgages more, everything. So the spending, people tighten their spending. So always be aware, I think if you try and invest with the thought in your mind that a bear market may be around the corner, you know, then you know damn well, if you're investing in a company, it's definitely, you know, it's good upside. And even in a downturn, I think we're at this level, I'm not too worried. But I agree with you. Feedback, you know, and, you know, we've only just feedback. Yeah, a non-exclusive, you know, GE are massive, you know. Like GE Healthcare turned over 18 billion euros last, or $18 billion, I guess, in 2016. And, you know, that's phenomenally big. There's not many companies bigger in the healthcare space.
No.
And Feedback, I've done a distribution deal with them, non-exclusive, because they've got other things on the go. They've got Allianz Medical. And Allianz Medical, like I said in my blog, they are in charge or operate 50% of the scanners, PET scans, CAT scans in the NHS. And Feedback are already, their software is already in their systems being tested. So I wouldn't be surprised to see another deal coming off here. And the fact that, you know, GE have pretty much done their due diligence. Big companies like that, healthcare, they have, you know, departments of people doing that kind of stuff. So they've done their due diligence. They've done all the testing. They're happy with Feedback software. And, you know, it's validated anyway. I mean, if you did your research on this, you know, their software has more peer reviews and academic papers written on it than any other kind of software in this field. So, you know, it was validated before anyway, but now GE is involved. That's underlined how good this software is. So I wouldn't be surprised to see another deal come along very soon. Travis, you don't know when that's going to be, do you? So,
no.
But I mean, but like I said, I like to get that money out of there because then I'm less focused on the minutiae, the day-to-day movement of the stock price, and I don't care too much. You know, I can't lose that money on that, really, theoretically. No. And I'm happy that I think it'll do several bags from here anyway. But
Feedback I didn't quite bag when it peaked this week. It was just on the cusp.
What percentage are you at, Pete?
Now, I'm just down. We're talking Thursday night, obviously 55% up. But I'm...
No, but how far are you off from bagging there?
Well, do the math. 45%.
Okay. So if you take... if you take 55 away from 100, Steve, you get 45.
You confuse me.
No, but you bought it. You bought in lower than Pete, didn't you? Pete did go to, you know, Pete did the old thing. Read the blog. We bought in, and then Pete sat back for a while and didn't buy until a week later when it was rising.
I'm not far off from Pete, to be fair.
I averaged down last week.
Oh, I averaged down a little bit as well. Yeah.
But
let me say something. You said about Upland Resources, Steve. I mean, there's no rush. But you said you're about 6% off. I think you texted me.
I'm now at 107%, but it closed before I saw that. So okay. I'll look at that tomorrow morning and sell.
Hang on a second. This is what I'm saying. I didn't have time to text you back. But when you've got a stock that's risen by 20% in a day, and this is off the back of a 10% rise the day before, and you've bagged, or very close to, even 90%, sell half. Because you are in, it's a seller's market then. You know, people are buying stock in that. That's the old adage. You know, sell on an up day is contrarian, buy on a down day if you've done research. And that's why, you know, you can get, I sold half, and normally I know I couldn't have sold that amount of stock, you know, on a down day. There wouldn't be any buyers for it. The market makers wouldn't have taken it. But I got rid of it in two chunks quite easy, half of the thing today, so it was fine. And that's what I'm saying, if you're close to a bagging and it's on a strong up day and people are buying, the majority of people are buying, sell into it, all right?
So
don't wait for a down day.
I'm hoping, obviously, that tomorrow morning, on Friday morning, I'll still catch that. So,
well, do you know what? 100%. It's odd, isn't it? They rose today, like on Thursday, 10 million volume there was. The average volume is 2.3 million, so, you know, four times average daily volume, and yet there's no news. Now, if I recall correctly, the last time this happened, this kind of volume, there was something happening. And something happened a couple of days later. I don't know what. I don't know if it was leaky or people over in Malaysia was doing something, or what. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if there will be news out, but I don't know where this volume's coming from. You don't get four times. I mean, obviously, oil is up, and there's a bit of a bullish run on stocks.
The Malaysian thing has been talked about for a while, and obviously, old Tony Fernandez got involved and all the rest of it. And yeah, I mean, that's reading between the lines. You sort of, and there's been no news, and yet we're seeing quite a rise in stock price. Well, who knows? But we'll see. But it's interesting to be in, isn't it? Now, here's another curveball for you because it's gone up so quickly. I'm now sat at 150% up. Yeah. So to de-risk, i.e., take out my original stake, I only need to sell 66%. No, that's not right. Hold on, I need to sell 33%, not half. And so that's a de-risk completely, but without selling as much stock. So that's a nice position to be in as well, isn't it?
Yes, that is a nice position to be in. Yes, yes.
But it doesn't happen that often, but yes.
No. But listen, I always think de-risk, because like I said, you never know what's around the corner. You really don't. I mean, you know, we could have something happen tomorrow, like trade talks back on, and all of a sudden it goes ahead, and interest rates go up in a couple of months' time, compounding that problem. And we're in a very seriously illiquid market that's taking a downturn. And you're thinking, right, I should have, while the sun was shining, I should have made hay. Is that right? Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Got it.
When you finish making hay, sell some stock, you know?
Right. Okay.
Obviously make hay first and then sell some. I think, and the strategy is, because someone said to me, you know, I often have decent rises. And like I said, I try and pick decent stocks, and when you sell at half, you've always got, I still own, you know, Asia Met Resources, I still own Tulu, you know, from the start there, I still own Westminster Group, which I doubled on, what others have I sort of doubled on there, Harvest Minerals, sorry, I've doubled on those, what else, and I still own these stocks, because I think there's a lot more potential in them, but I'm less jittery, EVRH Holdings, you know, but I'm less jittery, Tertiary Minerals, Valorix. And you're less jittery because you sold that initial stake. And you're happy, you know, when the market, generally the market goes up and down or down, it doesn't bother you so much. Do you think it's not a specific story? It's just the market's taking it. That's the stock market. Yeah. It goes up and down. It's a big deal. Like feedback's down. It was down 13% at one day today. It didn't bother me. I'd sold half, and I have confidence it's got a long way to go yet. That's just general market churn, you know, because it was 71% yesterday, wasn't it, I think? So. Or Wednesday, what I really get sometimes a bit worried on is stocks that I haven't doubled on that are down for no reason, and that's annoys me. So I obviously scale in if the story hasn't changed, but then if it's getting towards a stage where, you know, you think they need financing, I think should I wait now? I mean, normally if it drops 10%, the story hasn't changed, I think, you know, should I get in? Like, but that's why it's always the safest time for small cap pre-revenue stocks is after a fundraise, pretty much, you know? And that's, you know, I talk about FCR so much, and I think its potential is huge because of the asset. But once the funding comes in, you will have stock being flipped. Of course, I think the raise at 0.0575, the stock now is 0.075. So I don't know how many people are going to sell, the placees, but let's say it's half. That'll create a bit of pressure on the stock. So, but then, as soon as that churn's gone and the companies start doing stuff and unlocking value in that asset, it'll start to rise. And I think at that market cap and that asset, it'll go. If you listen to this podcast and hoping for tips, don't. You know, individual cases here, all different things, do your own research. And I see a lot. Do you know what? It's the old thing, isn't it? If you're going to blame someone else for your investment mistakes, you'll never be a good investor, because you're pressing the buy button. It's your money. Take responsibility for it. But I mean, I genuinely think FCR has the potential to be one of the best performing stocks this year on the junior cap space, just because it's so small. And that's talking about value creation. When you look at a company, and I say, how do you value a company? Well, you have to dig down, you do some maths. But if you look at the value of peers, you know, like even recently, Alta Zinc, like we said last week, I think it was a company in Europe, you know, zinc, lead, explorer, looking at their asset size and the comparisons. Anyway, an investor came on board, $3 million they put into it for 20% of the company. If that was the equivalent in FCR, looking at the resource size, that would value FCR at $75 million. Now they're at 2.3 million market cap, and yet they're in Europe, and they've got lead zinc. So I'm not saying it'll get to that, but I mean, you know, to double shouldn't be a problem. No. And it's from this level once they get the cash, you know? So that's why I see potential in that. And BT, Beating BT's up a little bit.
Just about.
Yeah.
I was looking at the chart. Do you know what? I hate to say it, and I had so many false dawns on BT, which is annoying because, you know, we've seen it. Oh, we're on a rise. We jumped in too early before. And even now, I will not be convinced until it's gone above the 200-day moving average, which is the Mac Daddy, of course. Pardon me, of the moving averages.
You don't get that on Bloomberg.
No, and that's what's missing. That is generally what's missing. didn't he get Warren Buffett just turning around, put his head below the desk and belch him out? Yeah. Oh, beg your pardon. Right. So compounding. But so the moving average is coming down. Is it 263? The price today, is it, what did it finish at? 245. 245, is it? Okay. So it's above a previous high. That's the highest close since February, pretty much. Yeah. Highest close since. Yeah, since the 5th of February.
Since February, yeah.
Which is not too bad. It's got a month still. That's good.
And well, that's all right.
And what we got there, if you look at the... What I quite like... I don't want to speak too soon.
No.
Because I've said this before.
Again.
What I quite like here is that the 50-day moving average is curving upwards, as is the 20-day. That's not happened before. I mean, when it did happen last time, the 20-day moving average is only curving down. So the price was coming down as the 50-day moving average was adjusting upwards. At the moment, the price is going up, and those two moving averages are coming up on the technical, which is what I quite like. I quite like that. But I'll be convinced...
It's not really... Well, it's sort of level-ish. It's not really going up.
What is?
The 200 moving day.
No, the 200 day. The 200 is not. It's going down still.
It's going down, yeah. That's right. I think it's going up.
The 50-day is turning up. Obviously, the 20-day reacts as a short-term moving average.
Yeah.
So 20-day is going right up. It's 45 degrees. The 50-day, I'd say, is about... 15, 20 degrees upwards. If it gets above 125, which is 248, it'd be quite nice. I don't want to speak too soon, but we may see. It'd be nice.
I'd take even something before the end of the millennium.
No, I'm hoping by the end of this year, I'll be laughing at your wife. Yeah, my wife. Obviously, I invested in this stock for her, and it went down. She's literally shouting at me every day. What's BT at? Oh, just you lost my money, Russell. And she made me write a contract out that that means she has no risk whatsoever, only possible reward.
You should have done that. You should have done a separate clause part of that contract that if it does go up, you take 50% of the profit.
No, I'm taking it all. I said to her, I'm giving her back exactly what she had in the start.
Oh, she's happy with that.
So she's got no risk, I think so. I think that's what we said. No risk, no reward. Yeah, because she thought it was like going bust. You know, it's like the trade.
She's or BT.
But exactly. She's going down. She gets panicking every day. Well, Megan.
Don't laugh. Anything is possible.
Yeah, but Megan, though, is so far, is like one of these, you know, not even a newbie investor. She's not even an investor, you know? So trying to explain to her. That this will turn around, you know, it's a juggernaut. It will turn around and start going the other way. Once momentum gets behind it, it'll be fine, you know. But literally, you know, it was a time. I'm looking now on the chart. There's a time where it went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Out of 13 days, only one slightly positive day. That is hard work. That's almost, you know, 3 weeks of trading it went down for. And she was asking me every day. I was cringing. I started lying after a while. Oh, it's flat. It's okay today, yeah. She was going up, yeah, not too much, though. But it's been like that for a week or so, isn't it? Steve, what are you doing?
Steve, what are you doing? Stephen.
It seems like you're putting the microphone where it shouldn't be.
Oh, sorry, I just let my head to the side. I think I'm going to crush the mic in my ear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just sit still and talk.
Well, you can't do both, can you? Anything else worth looking at? What are we looking at?
Advanced Oncotherapy, I saw how they broke a note out saying something like 146 target price. I thought, oh, that's good. Yes.
Yeah.
Come on. Me and Alan Green will be partying if that ever happens.
I wonder if it wasn't their own broker by any chance, was it?
It was Alan Green.
Yeah. I like the, essentially... Obviously, they have to be try and be impartial in some way, you know. But, you know, they pay the broker, you know. So the broker gets paid pretty much by them. And the broker writes a note, you know. So, you know, you can... It's almost like saying you've got to, you know... It's someone like selling their house and showing you around the house, essentially, and telling you why it's good, you know.
Yeah.
And you sort of, you know, you accept it. You also accept it's their house, you know.
Yeah.
And in fact, you've got to say, if it's so good, why are you moving?
Yeah.
But
I loved was, that was released on Thursday, and we saw a 27% rise on the day.
27% rise, yeah. Oh, well, I'm on Vox now. Alan Green is on there straight away.
Boom. And that put me to 65% down. So get in.
Is it? What are you saying about Teapot this? What are you saying there? What was that?
Yes, that's getting very close to 100% down for me and Steve. So we're very excited.
I thought you were.
Yeah, I'm on the edge.
12.5% down. It's on.
Yeah.
I can't.
No, I had that to go. Yeah.
The ironic thing is, though, those massive drops now are quick to pennies in my investment, doesn't it?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. See? Less risk to you.
Yeah, less.
That's just reward. Yeah. They don't get down, less risk.
Yeah. I didn't realise it had 12% to go.
And then all of a sudden, when it becomes zero, it's zero risk. Zero risk whatsoever.
Exactly. It's getting better all the time.
Yeah. On a risk reward basis, yeah. The reward is massive. The risk is tiny.
There we are. It's good.
I see people. Yes. In fact, one person who almost gave up trading a while back. I like it when people say that. So, right, that's it. I'm giving up now, Twitter. It's a good time. Yeah. See you again. I'm shutting it down. Want to see you for a long time. And then all of a sudden, right?
Yeah. They sneak back
they're back 2 weeks later. They've deleted that tweet.
You said this last week. I think we should come up with a name for these people.
Yeah, and I think, hang on, I imagine that tweet? Because I haven't mentioned it. I've seen a couple of people. I'm going for a long break and a couple of months off. In fact, do you know who did it recently, actually? It was funny. And you can't... And it proves how mad this guy is. You know Tyson Fury, the boxer?
Yes.
He said, I'm spending too much time on Twitter. I'm just going to go off it now for a couple of months just to prove... that I don't need it. And he said, a couple of months, he was literally on 5 days later. And he didn't even delete it. So people were saying, I don't think he realised he had it pinned. He pinned it to the top of his thing. And so someone said, didn't work out for you then. And he said, I thought, why do people say that? It's almost like, why do people proclaim to the world that they're giving up smoking or something? Yeah, or give up smoking or something. You know full well, the kind of people who've done this, tried to do it 12 times, You're not going to do it, and there we are. That's about it. I'm so looking forward to, actually, I've been watching, is the fight between Bellew and Hay, Hay Bellew. Have you seen that?
Hay Bellew.
Yeah. Did you see the first one?
No.
Well, Hay gave it the big eye hand, didn't he, all the time?
Yes.
Saying, he said, I can party every night. And Bellew...
Oh, yeah.
Bellew's been in Rocky film, hasn't he? I quite liked him. He's very good in that. But he's,
I don't think that says anything about his fighting credentials.
No, but I didn't realise he was a good actor. He wasn't. I thought this guy's an actor. He's obviously not an actor. He's a boxer, but he's psychologically very good. He takes Hay apart. And if you look, a video worth watching is, have you seen The Gloves Are Off? When I can't think what the commentator is now. Gloves Are Off. The commentator in between them just gets into a table, dark room, and they talk basically about each other. And psychologically, even like the last time. Belly takes it apart. It's worth watching. And he said.
Is it Henry Carpenter?
No, it's not Henry Carpenter. No. But anyway, he's a professional, Bellew. And he said, I knew. Hay didn't take Bellew seriously at all, right? In the first go. Bellew did his homework. And he said, I've been a fan of yours forever. I've watched you fighting. He said, I know more about your boxing than your coach does. And it's true, because the coach is quite new. And he said, my coach, and literally, he took him apart psychologically before the fight and during the fight. So I know how you fight. You revert the type, you'll try and change it up, and you revert the type, and I'll take you. If I take you past six rounds, I've got you. It turns out, Hay, didn't he? His Achilles went in round six, and he was knackered then anyway. But I think if you watch The Gloves Are Off between Tony Bellew and David Hay, it's worth watching because, David Hay, he's quite mouthy, but now he's been beaten once by him. He doesn't know what to say, really. He can't say, okay, you're right all the time. You were right. So it's worth watching. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that. That fight is on May the 5th. I'm just saying I wouldn't mind going somewhere to watch it. Are you busy on May the 5th, boys? Anyway?
May the 5th be with you.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I'm not really into boxing, to be honest.
Okay. It could be for a social evening.
Where are you thinking of going to watch it?
Well, anyway, but I'm thinking of a social evening, Steve, where the finale can just be watching the boxing. We go for a curry or something. We don't have to dress up in boxing gloves and punch each other all night, in our trunks and stuff.
Oh, I'll be up for that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we can do normal things and then watch the boxing towards the end of the night, which we'll be on until about 10:30 anyway. So, After
No, I could be up for that. Yeah,
after Tuesday. It's a Tuesday.
Oh, is it
May the 5th? Yeah. May the 5th is a Tuesday.
I don't think they put a boxing a big heavyweight class.
Sorry, I'm in June.
You're looking at last year. Yeah, no, you're May looking at 4 5th, years ago.
No, May the 5th, and Steve's looking at June. I think the clue's in the title there, Steve. May the 5th. Yeah? All right.
Steve's like, oh, sorry, I've got 2014's calendar.
Yeah. I just realised, are we still recording? I was just talking about... anyway.
No change there.
Yeah. Anyway. Right.
Yes, good stuff. Okay. Right, yeah, we'll probably just cut this bit out.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
You know that will never happen.
Yeah, I can't be bothered doing editing and all that stuff. I've gone past. I'm too old for that nonsense. When I was a young whippersnapper, you know, new to editing and all that stuff, I used to really enjoy that. But now, just hassle. That's life.
Yeah,
life rolls right on, you know? That's the way it is. Who cares?
That's the spirit.
Anyway, so, Steve, May the 5th?
Yeah, I could do that, maybe. Now I know it's May the 5th.
As opposed to June the 5th. I can't do June, I'm on holidays. Right. Okay, lads, well, that's it. Anything else? Anything else we missed out talking about, I think?
No, I don't think so.
No, I think that's it.
I think everyone's bored enough.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, if you are listening to this right at the end, and you're a new investor, stick with it. First thing to learn about is what, Steve?
Get yourself an Excel spreadsheet. Oh, not that. Yeah.
Yeah, one word.
Yeah. Risk.
That's it, fella, that's it. Get yourself an Excel spreadsheet.
You're starting out. Get yourself a spreadsheet.
When
it's very colourful. Yeah, blues and greens and reds and everything.
I wouldn't mind seeing that. When Steve releases his book, right in the front page is a fold-out spreadsheet. It'd be quite nice that on checked, you know, blank paper, just real old school paper, just ready a spreadsheet to fill out. That'd be quite nice, Steve. And at the top, first thing, get yourself a spreadsheet.
On May the 5th, rather than go and watch the boxing, should we sit around and watch a PowerPoint presentation from Steve?
Yes, exactly.
My Portfolio to Date by Stephen Martin.
I'll get my clicker out.
Maybe we should do that. You know, there's a lot of investor shows around at the moment. Maybe we should do that, just three of us, just do
we should try and see how many people we could get to come and watch an evening with Steve Martin.
I think it would be quite popular, actually.
Or even take a stand at one of the investor shows, just sit there.
Just have his spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Have his spreadsheet up on the screen.
This is my spreadsheet, I haven't filled that bit in yet. There we are.
Pitched to Harry and Larry.
Lovely. Right. All right, lads.
Right, okay.
That's
lovely.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.